Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
We're in Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Verses 12 through 16, and I'm going to do my best to do a great job with God's Word today. And that's why I always call on somebody to ask the Lord to bless the Word, that the preacher just get out of the way and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do His work. So if you have found Philippians 3, verse 12, would you mind honoring God's Word by standing one more time today? Second Miles, High Calling. That's the title of the message today. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Hallelujah. Man, my old buddy Blake Parks is here with us. He's driven down from parts unknown. And Blake asked God to bless the Word today. Would you, brother? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, brother. Please be seated. I don't know if y'all can read me right or not, but surely y'all have gotten some type of idea that I am excited about 2020. And I hope you're excited about 2020. God is putting some things together in our city, in our church, and He's about to do some things that only He can get credit for. And that's what I've been praying for years. Just the night of February the 2nd, that's next Sunday night, we are beginning a series of revival meetings, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night in February with 12 other churches. Pastors and churches are coming together for the sake of the gospel. Man, pastors are praying together every week. I said pastors in this community are getting together to pray for Clarksville to come to Christ. This is an amazing day. Here's Dwight Sr. over here. He leads a prayer meeting out at Hilldale Baptist Church on Monday night, the first and third Monday nights of the month. They've been praying for how long, Dwight? 8 years for the spiritual transformation of Clarksville. So these are exciting days, man. God's doing a work here. And it's not by accident that Kenwood Baptist Church called us asking for help. And we're going to give it to them. We're going to merge together. We're the acquisition of their property. I'm headed out there today to preach to them. And their pastor is Brother Danny Eads is already looking at preaching at a couple other churches in Stewart County. And so we're going to, this transition's going to be wonderful and smooth. How many of you know about the Waterworks building next door? That's going to help. Our wonderful landlords are here Y'all need to thank the C's for being so gracious to us. That building's gonna. Do y'all remember what was it last summer? Anyways, one Wednesday night, it was hot as blue blazes outside. But we went over there to that building and we laid hands on it and we prayed over it. A couple of y'all walked 7 times around it. And now that building's going to help provide some more space for us. So I'm excited about that. God is doing a work in this place. And He's doing a work in our city and in our county. And you just pray that we don't mess it up. Because I believe if we keep going the direction we're going, the church is going to be revived in Montgomery County. And we're going to see a spiritual awakening. We're going to see hundreds, if not thousands, of people come to faith in Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, if that happens, the work has just begun. Because we're here to make disciples. Amen? Look at your neighbor and tell them it's all about making disciples. And so I want to talk to you about our high calling this morning, if that's all right, for just the next few minutes. And in verse 12, I think what Paul's saying is, it's time to get in the race. Everybody. It's time to get in the race. Look what he says. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. The picture that Paul's painting here is that of an athlete running in a race, head up, focused in going forward, and stretching and straining towards the finish line. We are in a race. Did you know that? I call it the race of grace. And God's calling people right now, today, to get in this race, this Christian marathon that we're in. And I love the way Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 discusses, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that was set before us, looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We're in a race, Second Mile. We are looking to Jesus in this race, and it's all going to end in glory. Now, I've been chewing on this all week. I hope you'll wrap your heart around what we're talking about here. God's calling us here to get in the race. Now Paul says some kind of strange things. He says, not that I've attained, or not that I've already perfected. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't apprehended. This is the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is the guy that's the greatest Christian outside of the greatest personality outside of Jesus in the New Testament that there is. I mean, this guy went on 3 great, fantastic missionary journeys. He founded dozens of churches. He won hundreds of people to faith in Jesus Christ. He's written over half of your New Testament books. And this is the Apostle Paul saying, man, I hadn't arrived yet. I'm not there yet. What's he saying? Well, he's evaluating himself in light of one hard, cold fact. People were dying and going to hell. We had a prayer meeting in here Thursday night. How many of y'all know Will Binkley, pastor out at Spring Creek? They're going to kick our revival meetings off at their place Saturday night. But I know Will's got a heart for unity in the body of Christ. And so I asked Will to lead us in some prayer time. And he broke down in the middle of his prayer. And you know what he was crying about? That Clarksville, as we know it this morning, is on their way to hell. The vast majority of people do not have an intimate, growing, burning relationship with Jesus Christ. And as soon as you step out into eternity, brothers and sisters, you're headed to one place or the other. It's either heaven or hell. And Jesus said, few people find that road. That's what Jesus said. And yet you go to these funeral services and everybody that's ever had a funeral that I've ever been, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's not going to heaven. We need to get a grip on why God put us here. Amen? People are dying and going to hell. Now, some of y'all have been in this race, like me, for over 50 years. Some of you just got in. Some of you are brand new believers. Praise the Lord for that. But so, I guess Paul's encouraging everybody to get in this race of grace, to get in this thing together. How do you get in? Well, I'm glad you asked. By answering God's call of salvation. Shan, my wild brother-in-law, gave me a book that somebody wrote in that lives in Clarksville. He's retired military, and he wrote the book. He said that we make something so hard out of salvation for people, and it's really simple. But bless God, he wrote a whole book about it. Are y'all with me? That doesn't sound real simple, does it? But it is. In order to be saved, you've got to be willing to repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ and Him alone as the only means of salvation. Repentance and faith. That's the only way anybody's ever been saved. Ever. And that's the only way anybody will ever be saved. Repentance and faith. And so if you're not in this race of grace this morning, you need to come before the Lord and just agree with Him. Man, you're right, Father, and I'm wrong. I'm a sinner, and I need Your grace. And I believe Your Son paid the price for all of my sin. And as best I understand that today, I receive the finished work of Jesus Christ in my heart. I'm trusting You today. And you can be saved. You can get in the race of grace right here today. I pray that way every week before I get up here to preach. That's what this life's all about, folks, is reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. That's our mission. Now, do you know, now Paul's running for God. Now, he's in this race. He's straining forward. Do you see that picture? Do you see him running? Do you see him straining? Do you see him focusing on the finish line? But did you know that God has a purpose in calling people to Himself? The greatest miracle that ever takes place is the miracle of salvation. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sin. Y'all have heard me say this before. What do dead people need? Life! Dead folks need life. Not turn over a new leaf. Not get a fresh start. Not get a new beginning. You need a new life. And Jesus is the only one. He's the only one that can give you a brand spanking new heart. He's in the heart transformation business. The Bible says our hearts are wicked and we need a new heart, and Jesus is the only one that can do that. And so the purpose of salvation glorifies God. The greatest miracle that ever takes place is when God saves a soul. It brings Him tremendous glory and honor. And Romans 8:29 says that God has predestined us not for hell, but that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. God is making us more like Jesus every day. Do you remind anybody of Jesus when they're around you? You see, God's not done with me yet, amen? He's chipping away the things in my life He doesn't like. And He's still working on me. He's changing things and He's making me more like Jesus. And you know how I mentioned this before, and I like it when everything's great, you know? But I want to tell you, it's during the tough times of life that I've learned about who God is and who He wants me to be. And so He's working on us. He's making us and molding us into the image of Christ Jesus. He's getting rid of what He doesn't like. Do you remind anybody of the Lord? Now, I'm showing my age here, but there was a movie that came out. Blake, you remember The Chariots of Fire back in 1981? That's a long time ago. Some of y'all weren't even a thought in your mama's eye. But there was a runner in that movie from Scotland. His name was Eric Liddell. And he was a believer. And he was about to run in the Olympics for his nation, for his country, Scotland. And his sister was a missionary. And she was wanting Eric to go to the mission field with her. You know, and she was really thinking, But I'll never forget what he told her in that movie. He said, God created me for a purpose, sister. He made me fast. And I feel God's pleasure when I run. God saved you for a purpose, that he might receive glory and honor and praise from your life. And as you run, are you feeling God's pleasure? Do you sense God's Spirit? I'm not running much anymore. But you understand what I'm saying? Do you feel God's pleasure as you run this race for Him? Are you trying to reach others for Christ? Are you teaching others to follow Christ? That's what this life's all about, as we love and serve our community. And then secondly, we not only need to get in the race, we need to keep focused on the goal. Look at these great verses one more time. I'm going to have a running spell. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Well, what's this one thing he does? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had not finished his race. He wasn't done yet. He was not where God wanted him to be just yet, but he had his eyes on the goal. He was focused. You know, I think the tendency is once you've been in a race for a while, once you've been in the game, you know, you tend to get kind of satisfied and you really quit striving to go forward. But not Paul. He was not satisfied. He had not appropriated everything that God had for him. He was concentrating on all that God had put him here to do. And in order for Second Mile Church, in order for us as individuals to accomplish what God put us here to do, we've got to do one thing. You know what that is? Forgetting what lies behind. Now, I'm not talking about forgetting the past. I'm talking about learning from the past, not living in the past. We live in the present and for the future. Listen, folks, our best days are still out in front of us. And I don't care if you're 93 years old. Your best days are still out in front of you if you're a born-again believer. You've got more to look forward to than you ever can look back to. Now, I do believe in learning from you. You know, if you don't know where you've been, hello? You don't know where you're going. But I'm not tired of it, but we don't need to focus on the glory days. If you'll hear what I'm saying, if you'll think back to the glory days, you might have an understanding they weren't as glorious as you once thought they were. Forgetting what lies behind. Paul says, man, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in my life. Paul's pressing on with a plan. We've got to stay focused on the goal if we expect to please God. Billy, Nehemiah 6:3. I think Nehemiah was on the wall, and I probably didn't get to hear this last week, but he was on the wall, rebuilding the wall. And there were some folks trying to get him to come down off the wall. And you remember what Nehemiah, you Sunday school guys and gals, you remember what Nehemiah told them? I can't come down off the wall. I'm doing an important work for God. And I want to tell you, the devil's going to come after us this year because he wants us to come down off the wall. But we're going to stay on that wall. We're going to stay focused on where God wants us to go. We've got to look to the goal. By the way, living, what is it that matters most in life? Making disciples. You're going to hear that until you get sick of hearing it. But we have got to keep reaching people for Christ. We've got to keep teaching people to follow Christ as we love and serve our community here. That's what matters most. And living life for what matters most is what matters the most. I may have gotten that wrong. Let me look at my notes here. Living Living for that which matters most is what makes life worth living. Living for what matters most is what makes life worth living. And that was worth staying here to hear. All right? We got to focus on what's out ahead of us. Now, I've been doing some self-examination this week. You know, this is going to be tough to hear, but I've got to say it. The Christian life ain't easy. That's bad grammar, but that's tremendous theology. If it was easy, anybody could do it. It's tough. It's hard. It's going to cost you some things. Right? But what would happen if we put as much energy and effort and passion into our spiritual life as we do making money? As we do hunting and fishing? As we do supporting our favorite football team? What would happen if we put as much passion into our spiritual lives as we do all these other things aren't bad, but if they're taking the place of what matters most, they're not good for us. I know y'all didn't come to hear that, but I'm telling you, what matters most is what we need to be about. Doesn't mean you can't do all these other things. You can, but you've got to get priorities straight. And so let me ask you this question. If everyone was, and I've been asking myself this question this week, if everyone was as dedicated and committed as you are, what kind of church would Second Mile have? Ask yourself that question. If everybody was as committed and dedicated to what God put me here to do, what kind of church would this be? You know, sometimes, Billy, when God's moving, people aren't jumping up and down and raising hands and hooping and hollering. It's real quiet because the Spirit's searching our hearts. What matters most? And are you dedicating yourself to what matters most? Do you see Paul? Man, he is leaning forward. You see those veins popping out in his, I mean, he is straining forward. And he's got his eyes on the goal of making disciples. And I've said all of that to say this morning. We've got to finish the race. We've got to. That's what verses 15 and 16 is talking about. We've got to. It's important to get started. But can I tell you, what really matters is how you finish. Oh, come on, senior adults. Come on. It's how you finish that counts. It's not how you started. It's how you finish. And I don't know where you are today in your walk with God or your race of grace. Listen, I want to finish well. Why? Because I've got more days behind me than I got ahead of me. And I want to hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Isn't that what y'all want to hear? We've got to finish well. We've got to cross the tape. Now, I told the Teen Challenge boys Monday night. I preached on the second coming out there. And I thought Jesus was actually coming during the service. I mean, those boys were hopping and jumping. I mean, it was unbelievable. The Spirit of God sat down in there for about 55 minutes. Whew. And I tell you what, when I left there, it was dark outside, but I was looking for that cloud. I thought, Jesus must be coming tonight. He's coming. He is coming. Did He come the first time? He's coming again. And what we hear then is determined by what we're doing now. In April of 2016, me and some of our men from my former church came up here to help with a men's conference. And during that time before the men's conference date, I had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with some of the pastors up here and their men in their churches. And boy, when I heard some of the struggles and the stories of some of those pastors, man, it broke my heart for Clarksville. It tore me all to pieces. And that's why that was the beginning of God calling us back home. And I'm old enough, folks, to tell you, we got a lot of work to do. People are dying in their sin. And they're going to pay for their sin for all of eternity. We have got to focus on what matters most. And when you do as many funerals as I do, you're ever reminded of that which matters most. I want to read in closing here some scripture over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's about to finish the race. I want you to listen to what he said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you serving Him? Do you do what you do for His glory? You see, that's where our race ends. It ends in glory. Can you imagine the King of Kings? He gives you a reward, the crown of righteousness. And you take that crown off and you lay it at His feet. And you'll say something like, Lord, the only reason I'm anything is because of You. The only reason I'm righteous is because You shed Your blood. There is a fountain filled with blood. And the only reason I'm righteous is because of what You did for me. And I want to serve You for all of eternity in this glorious place. That's where your race is going to end. Are you going to get that reward? The crown of righteousness to all who have loved His appearing. I can't think of a better way to close this message on our high calling. It ends in glory. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, would You help us in these fantastic days to refocus, to reprioritize, to do what only You can do. But Father, as we surrender our hearts and lives afresh and anew here today, I believe, God, there's a higher calling. There's a better thing out there. Help my brothers and sisters to recognize the need. It's not time to come down off the wall. It's time to serve. It's time to stay in the race. It's time to call people to a higher walk. Oh God, help us to sing, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh God, do a work in our hearts this morning. Help us to focus on that which is a higher calling than what we get so focused on. I thank You, Lord, for those that are going to enter the race here today. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ, let me tell you, Jesus not only wants to run the race for you, He'll put you in the race. If you'd be willing to turn from your sin and trust Him and Him alone with your life, God will save you. He'll save anybody. Save me. You need to enter into that race. There's two things you need to do. If you're wanting to do that today, you feel like the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is on you, I'm here at the front. You can come and share with me what you've done today, and we'll rejoice with you. I'll put some stuff in your hand to get you started right. Or maybe you just need to fill out that mile marker card. Just check those boxes and give us your address, and we'll hook up with you. But you need to do that. You need to follow up with that. And then there's others, and God's spoken to your heart today. And just afresh and anew, you just give Him who you are and what He wants you to do. Father, in this time of examination, in this time of self-reflection, oh God, there's no time like the present to sell out and surrender to that which matters most. That's what makes life worth living. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.